All right, let's get going and get started again. It's your Bible. Okay, the next thing we want to do is have you experience something instead of just being talked at. So if you're here with your spouse, you're going to do this with your spouse. If you're here with someone else and you want to do this as partners, you can. If you want to just use this as a journaling exercise, you can if you're not married and here with your spouse. If you're here with your spouse, that's not an option. All right? So the next page is the comfort circle guide for the listener. And then the last page is this is list of soul words. So the reason we have a guide for the listener is because people don't know how to listen. And they don't know how to keep listening. And they get reactive and they stop listening and tell that person why they're not right or what their point of view is. So like I said in this exercise, you could listen for all 12 questions, but we don't have time for that. So I want you to circle 1 through 5. And then number 8, and those are the only questions you're going to ask tonight. The person you're listening to will have the list of soul words, because question 2 is, use the list of soul words and pick 3 feelings that describe how you feel in this situation. So you're going to need the list of soul words. We don't want you trying to come up with them on your own. We want you to pick them off this paper, because it's many times the feeling that gets chosen that you would never think of if you weren't looking at the paper that turns out to be a key component of this exercise. We use this all the time in our counseling offices, and it's amazing if you've never had a deep conversation and you ask all these questions, you will have a deep conversation. For the advanced group, we start with the question, what bugs you the most about me? That's a brave one. If that's a little too scary, then just start with number 1, which says, share with me one thing that's stressing you or concerns you or is upsetting to you. So that's a wide open question. It could be anything. It could be about your relationship. It could be about something else. As the listener, you're listening, and then you're going to write down what they said. Because at the end of it, if you try and review it without writing it down, you're going to forget. So we have the listener actually write down what their spouse is saying or the person they're listening to. You can even use this for your kids. And we have them write it down so that they can come back and review it later. So we're going to give you 15 minutes on the first round. So pick who's going to be the listener first. And the listener will have this list of questions. And then the speaker will have the soul words. If you're here alone, you want to do this as a journaling exercise, you can also ask yourself these questions for clarification.
Did I interrupt you?
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, periodically, like every second question, go back up to the top and review. Okay, so here's what I've heard. And go back. So what stressed you was this, and here's what it made you feel, and then so on and so forth. So you want to review and recapture the whole conversation and do sort of a save and then go down to the next one and then grab the whole thing periodically. So we're going to give you 15 minutes for that.
I want you to write 2 words across the top of your page. Be curious. Curious. This is not about who's right or who's wrong. This is about understanding what is going on inside another person. It's about, these questions are about being curious. Now, before you start, I want to say one thing about questions, and I want to ask you each, what did questions mean in your family growing up? Mm-hmm. Were they curious questions about what was inside you? Were they, you're going to get backed into a corner questions? Were they always, why did you do that? What's wrong with the way you just did that? I mean, questions have implications for different people. Sometimes people hate being asked questions, but there's always a reason. So these are be curious questions. They're meant to get to know another person. So if you had a hard time with questions growing up, just try and stay with the exercise and do the best you can, knowing that these questions are about loving someone and knowing someone. So pick who's going to go first, and we're going to give you 15 minutes, then we're going to stop, and we're going to switch roles. All right? If you run out of time or you have more time, you can always ask some of the questions on the paper. That's all right. There's plenty there. It's way too many for 15 minutes. So, all right? Any questions? It's all clear?
Ready, go.
Ready, go. And if you want to spread out to, like, if it's too noisy right where you are, that's fine. Just don't leave the room.
Yeah,
just stay local. Okay, we're about ready to switch roles. So if you're not done, you can always finish this later at home. But I want you to, in the last minute here, start with question one, review what your spouse has said up to this point, and just thank them for sharing. Okay, so go back up to one and say, so what's stressing you is, and it makes you feel this, and do you understand what I'm saying? Just review. You tell your spouse what you just heard, and then thank them for sharing with you. And then we're going to switch roles after that. So after you do that, switch roles, and the next person becomes the listener. Is that clear? Any questions? Yeah, okay, let's stop them.
Okay. So if you're listening right now, I want you to just thank, if you're the listener, thank your spouse for telling them what they just told you and for taking an opportunity to tell them what they've said to you. So just close and do that, and I'll be right back. So go ahead and do that.
Review and thank. Go from the top, review what they said with you as far as you got, and thank them for sharing.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you. Sorry to do that. I realize each of your conversations will have different paces. So it is really hard to see you, and sometimes it's hard to hear you from up here, especially with the lights, and then there's a distance. But what were some of your impressions or observations about the exercise? Anybody have an impression or observation you'd like to make about this exercise?
Or question. Yes. Okay, so she said if you have... Well, okay, so what we had you do was each participate in an exercise, and really what you're asking is, what if you're married and one person just isn't going to go along with the growth? You know, God says we're only responsible for ourselves, and we can grow, and when you grow, you change the dynamic in your marriage because your spouse is now relating to a different person that's changing and growing. And it's going to help your relationships in every other area if you grow. So, you know, if you have a resistant spouse, you know, the one thing you might do is ask them to read the chapter that's about you and ask them what's one thing you could do to grow. And sometimes that will win over a person who's resistant. Sometimes, you know, you've been married a long time and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of things to overcome. But the reason we do this exercise is we're trying to give you an experience of staying in a structured setting and going through questions that will really take you deeper. And, of course, some people need the structure to be able to do that. Did any of you learn anything that you didn't know? Raise your hand if you did, if you learned something new. The great thing about listening is it's not just the listener who's learning things, it's also the speaker. Oh yeah, no one ever asked me that question. I'm going to have to think about that. So it can be a learning experience for both sides, whether you're the listener or the speaker. You know, another just simple question you can ask at the end of a day when you come back together as a spouse is, give me 3 feelings about your day. And use that soul word list. That gives you a lot more information than how was your day? Good, stressed, bad. That doesn't really give you any information. But 3 feelings, you don't have to fix them. You don't have to do anything with them at the moment. But at least you know where your spouse is when you walk through the door and you greet each other at the end of a day.
Any other observations or comments about the experience?
Yeah. Okay, you got to the next question after childhood feelings, didn't you? How many of you had childhood feelings that connected to this? Oh, there, look at that. What she said is she realized that the next question maybe some of you got to is, if you did have these feelings as a child, how much of your current reactivity or how you feel is about the past versus the present? Try and give a percentage. And of course, there's no right answer to that percentage. But what you're saying is you realized what you're feeling in your current relationship has a history behind it. And it's fueling your reactivity in the present. Yeah, that's a huge insight.
What I loved about how you said that was you took ownership of yourself. You said, my overreactivity at times, mm-hmm. I realize, is not the present situation, but it's fueled by my past. And that will give relief to everybody to be able to express those words. That it's not about the present. It's not about specifically you. It's turbocharged by my history. And so I love the way you express it. That was really great. That would help and put anybody listening to you at ease to say, sometimes I overreact and I realize I know where it's coming from. So thank you for modeling that for us. That was great. Any other comments? Anybody else? Right over here, sir.
We done it with children.
I mean, your children.
Well, so, we didn't have this list of questions when we were raising our kids, but yes, you can modify these to the age. I mean, if you have a toddler, it's like you just tell them what you see. You're really sad right now. You're really mad.
Say that again.
Teenagers?
Yes, but I wouldn't start off probably with all 12 unless you have a very receptive speaker. That might be overwhelming, but even just if you have a teenager, the best thing you can do is start with you. Hey, I went to this workshop. I learned all these things. I think I'm an avoider. Read this chapter and tell me what you think. That's how you can engage a teenager, is to own your own stuff and give your own regrets about what you might have changed had you known some of these things earlier. That's very disarming for another person to hear. We had a guy on our board that was in his 60s. He was an avoider, and he read our book, and he said, oh, my gosh, he gave his daughters a book and said, I've been the avoider dad your whole life. I want you to read this and tell me how that impacted you. And he had these tender conversations separately with each of his grown daughters, and then 3 years later, one of them died after surgery. And with tears in his eyes, he's just said, I'm so glad we had those conversations. I felt really connected to her, and I had no idea I was going to lose her. So, it's never too late to connect, but you got to start with ownership.
One of the most important things with kids and teenagers is to not put the offense and the sentence, the offense and the sentence in the same timing. Like, you shouldn't have done that. You're grounded for life, where we just create the verdict in the sentence. You want to try and help them understand why they did what they did. So with my teenagers, I'd have a sit-in. I'd go into their room, and they'd say, what are you doing in my room? And I'd say, well, I just want three words that you felt right before you hit your brother. Dad, that's so stupid. Well, I don't care if it's stupid. I just want three words. This is my room. Get out of it. Well, technically, it's not your room. It's my room, and I'm loaning it to you, and I'm just having a sit-in. They were real popular in the 60s, little protest sign. I got a book. I'll take as long as you want. I want three feeling words that you felt right before you hit your brother. And that's all I want. You give me three words, I'm out of here. So going slow with them, giving them time to slow down and realize, and then I'm sitting on the floor. I'm lower than them, and I'm reading a book. And I said, I'll wait. Get out of my room. No, I'm the dad. So I would wait. Finally, I would hear three words, and I'd say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I'm out. But we'll talk about this tomorrow. And then tomorrow, we talk about these three words and why you hit your brother. And then I had a conversation with both boys, and it was very revealing, and I got them at a time that they weren't at this elevated, pitched state. And I could then decide and say to them, now, what do you think we ought to do about this? You give me a plan for how we're going to handle this so I don't have to drop some hammer. Maybe your hammer's better than mine. And I give them choices in it. In the back of our How We Love Our Kids is a parent toolbook, or a toolbox, I should say, and it has lots of questions you can use with your kids, similar to these, but just on a slightly different scale of simplified with your kids. We use it with all ages, from the cradle to the grave. So, with everyone. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Wait, I have a spontaneous question. I'm curious if there's anybody in the audience that's already applied some of this and seen a change in themselves or their family because of it. Would you guys be willing to say two words about what that was like? Okay, come up here. No, I'm going to give you my mic so they can hear you.
Ryan can give him one. Can you give him one, Ryan?
I can give mine.
He's got a handheld.
Oh, that's even better. I really appreciate this. This is very spontaneous. This is not planned. But I just want to give you guys some encouragement and hope on what can happen if you take this seriously and really work at it. So just say your name.
I'm super embarrassed. Robin Forbes. Okay. This is my husband, Phil. And
hi.
We went to the series that was put on by Sunrise, a couple of years ago maybe?
Yeah.
Where they went through all of the personalities, and I identified with an avoider, and you were?
I think I'm primarily a vacillator.
But we had a lot of really open discussions in our family, and I feel like you and I knew each other better as a result.
Yeah, we started recognizing some of our own behaviors, and just it just gives you the ability to start to manage that a little bit.
I think we have a better relationship now.
Definitely.
All right.
And we apply it to our kids. We also apply it to our kids. Like, my son's an avoider, and I say, Philip, you're an avoider. Stop procrastinating.
it's not a conviction. It's just that, hey, recognize your behavior, and that's what's going on, and you have this propensity, and you know what I mean. Like, recognize the propensity outside of the situation, so that when those propensities become evident inside of a situation, you can kind of deal with them on a more empirical way, rather than blaming or, you know what I mean? This is just your natural way of dealing with things, and it doesn't make you a bad guy. It's just,
right.
You know, or.
It's just your wife will like it if you can share feelings someday.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
That's great.
It just kind of goes from there.
Thank you so much. Let's give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Well, can we give, let's see, am I still on? Hey. Can we give Kay and Mylan a thank you as well? Guys, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So just a couple other things to let you know. I hope you've been encouraged tonight. Definitely, I think if you take these things home and you talk about them and you apply them, that will be helpful. I think that was one of the big things I was thinking about. You know, you guys mentioned this morning, two of the responses that we can have is, one, to go to God, and one is to go to relationships with other people. And I thought, how much of that, like, pick three words and tell God that's how you're feeling right now. Like, how golden is that? So hopefully you were encouraged tonight. I know that I was. Just so you know, we do have one more family night coming up in October. That will be October 20th. We have Dr. Kathy Cook is going to share with us about understanding the heart and mind of your child. So if you remember, she was here a few weeks ago speaking on the 8 Great Smarts. So you can look forward to that. Same time, same place, October 20th. We also have a number of study groups that are coming up, because one of the things that we're doing at Horizon is that we're trying to create comfortable places for you to connect to God and other people. So Authentic Manhood, guys, that is starting up for us next Sunday night, as well as next Monday morning. So it's Sunday nights at 8 or Monday mornings at 6:09 a.m. You can sign up for that online. It's the same thing both times, so if you can make it either one of them, that's great. Women, there's a couple different groups as well. We have Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, as well as Thursday mornings, that we have some groups available. You can find out more information about those in the programs that are out there, as well as on the website. You can sign up for those. And we also have student groups that are kind of a new thing that Ryan and the team have been working on. So 5th through 8th grade are Tuesday evenings. High school is Wednesday evenings. So I know that's a lot of information. Hopefully you heard the one that was for you, but you can always get all of that stuff on our website as well. So thank all of you for being here. Kay and Mylon, thank you guys for being here. Hang around if you want to talk a little bit, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys again. Thanks for coming.